You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Monday's edition of the podcast. Sam Norris here, joined by Ross Briley to look ahead to four races on Monday. And you'll hear every race live, of course, in the Racing Radio studio in the company of Sean Quinn, John Budden and Kevin O'Malley from 12:50pm. We're jumping at Fakenham and Musselburgh, and there's an all-weather card on the taffeta at Wolverhampton as well. So lots to get stuck into on Monday afternoon. But firstly, I'll introduce Ross to the podcast. How are you today, Ross?
Hello, Sam Norris. I am very well, thank you. It's nice to be introduced. Here I am, ready and raring to go. Ask me anything, Sam.
Good.
Literally anything.
Anything?
Yeah, go for it, yeah.
Should we keep it horse racing related for now?
Well, it's completely up to you, mate.
We'll talk dinosaurs and Itchy and Scratchy later.
All right, you're on. That sounds like a crossover episode that should definitely be made.
Indeed. I very much thought we'd be sitting here, Ross, talking about how Horse X and Horse Y and Horse Z cemented their festival credentials, but it wasn't the case on Saturday. We saw a lot of disappointing favourites and maybe horses who didn't live up to the hype. It was a muddling day, really.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of horses bow out of contention rather than step up, I think. I think that's a lot more interesting. It's a lot better. Some people will be disappointed because they'll have antipose slips on horses that yesterday ran like drains. And there's obviously a few talking points in terms of the fact that Willie Mullins had a disappointing day on one hand, but an incredible day on the other.
Somehow manages to get a four-timer on a day where a load of favourites got stuffed.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's the only person who can beat Willie Mullins is Willie Mullins, apparently. And for example, owner Simon Mania will have had a mixed day as well.
Yeah.
Peace and Co. disappointing, but Bristol Demai looked an absolute peach of a jumper yesterday. So, very interesting day. Do you want to?
Let's go through them. Let's start with the action in Leopardstown first, and the Irish Gold Cup, of course. We saw last year's Cheltenham Gold Cup form represented in the shape of Road to Riches. Valsalido as well was a well fancied one, but in the end, it was Carlingford Lock who took it for the second successive year. Road to Riches probably a bit of a disappointment. Valsalido, despite the fact that he tipped up at the last Ross, did look to have a live chance at that point. Would you be more sort of happy with Valsalido's performance over Road to Riches, despite the fact that one finished and one didn't?
I thought Road to Riches ran an absolute blinder. It was a bizarre ride, I thought, in a bizarre race. They went off far too quick. On his own, was the last to complete and finished, about 60, 70 lengths behind Carlingford Lock. In contrast, Road to Riches, who pretty much matched him for the vast majority of the way, was left in second, beaten 12 lengths. I don't quite know what Brian Cooper was doing on Road to Riches. Obviously, instructions were to be pretty prominent and try and force the others into mistakes and play to Road to Riches' stamina, of which he has an abundance. But it just did too much, far too much, on a day when it was actually quite hard to shake them off at Leopardstown as well. Now, he would have finished third, obviously, if Valsalido had stood up. I still don't. There's no way of knowing whether Valsalido would have won if he'd stood up either, because he hadn't come off the bridle yet. But Carlingford Lock powered home so strongly that you couldn't possibly make that differentiation between the two. Carlingford Lock is a bizarre horse. I've backed him several times, and he's never won when I've backed him, because he constantly puts in decent, really strong performances on the clock and then completely bombs out. He's so in and out, it's painful, really. But on the flip side of that, that was his fourth Grade One victory, and he's got almost £500,000 in prize money. So, on the one hand, he's a joy to own. On the other hand, he's a nightmare. But I thought Road to Riches ran an absolute stormer, given the race, the way the race went. And I thought he could have easily dropped out the back of the telly, but he didn't. He kept going. So, I'd be pretty happy with Road to Riches, assuming, of course, he gets a slightly more refined ride. I thought it was a rare misstep from Brian Cooper, I thought.
Okay, traders were taking a bit of a dim view on Road to Riches, then out to 16-1 for the Cheltenham Showpiece, 20-1 about Carlingford Lock, and 16s about Valsolido.
I mean, I still don't think he'll win it.
Mm, yeah,
I still think that, you know, Giggins Town have got two or three much stronger chances. I think Don Polly still remains the best each way bet of the week, pretty much at 6-1. So, but I don't think it necessarily did his chances any harm in being defeated yesterday, given the way the race was run.
Okay, fair enough. Ivanovic Gorbatov is the next one I want to touch on, Ross, under the tutelage of presumably Joseph O'Brien, who would be training the jumpers. A lot was thought of this horse going into the race, and it was beaten by three rivals. It's gone out in the market, but still remains favourite at 5-1. Again, were we just seeing a bit of a blip from him, or was there something a little bit more concerning and sinister in that for you?
No. I thought, again, he was completely taken off his feet early on, because Jer's Girl and Let's Dance, again, set a ridiculous pace early on. And he made an early mistake, and then he made another mistake, and then he made another mistake. Mm. And even then, he still swept into the reckoning and looked like he might get involved, and then just bottomed down a bit late on. I don't know, it was an odd one. I still don't think it can be entirely discounted. Again, the first three in front of him were all Mullins trained. If he runs up to the form of his debut win, then obviously he's going to be very interesting indeed. And also the better ground will definitely help him as well. It was a bizarre run, I think, because he looked like a bit of a different horse. But I think there was a. It looked to me like there might be a plan to get him out of his comfort zone, and I think it worked. So I wouldn't. If you backed him, I wouldn't give up on him.
Okay. Fair enough. Bells Hill, another horse then, who was beaten at odds of 4-6, was the favourite for the Neptune. Has drifted out massively now, 8-1 with us here. Even money for Yanworth, who of course we've literally just seen have a form boost in the opening of the day at Musselburgh. Mm-hmm. On Sunday. Again, Bells Hill, what did you make of that run?
Well, I wasn't mad keen on him to begin with, on his form at Nace. He'd won his last two at Nace, but he'd made relatively heavy weather of it. So I don't quite know what to make of him, really. I'd be a little bit worried. Again, though, he tried to make all the running. He was hassled early on by Coney Island, and then Bleu Rouge put it down to him as well. He's another one who didn't jump particularly well early. It was just an odd day for a few horses. A few horses had real off days, and you couldn't get away with many mistakes at Leopardstown. It was quite brutal, really. So, again, if you fancied him before, then I don't think that much has changed, but I didn't particularly fancy him before. So,
yeah,
I think he's playing for places.
Okay, fair enough. And this side of the RSC, as you mentioned at the top of the podcast, Ross, a bit of a mixed day for Simon Year. Peace and Co, pretty disappointing, but Bristol Demai was the real standout of the day in terms of a well-backed favourite doing what his odds suggested. It was a really pleasing run.
Yeah, I think the most pleasing thing was his jumping was absolutely perfect. I haven't seen a novice jump like that in quite a while. Admittedly, he was allowed to set his own rhythm, so it was a bit easier for him. But he pinged every single fence. And Sandown, you know, not the easiest to jump around. So now, the worry for him, if he does go to Cheltenham, he's never been there. It'll be a bit of a different prospect for him in the JLT. But we saw Rooks's Andre and various horses make all the running at Cheltenham in the past over in similar races. So I think he's got to have a leading chance. He's done absolutely everything that's been asked of him this season. He's a Grade 1 winning hurdler. He's a Grade 1 winning chaser now. So, yeah. And the only horse that's beat him is Ahmad, who's going to have a live chance in the Arkle. So I think he's got a great chance at Cheltenham.
Okay, 6-1 then for Bristol Demai in the JLT behind Kilter Vic, who remains the 2-1 favourite here. I think that pretty much addresses all of the headline performances, Ross. It was obviously a good run from Black Lion, Connor Tarbell as well. Was there anything else that really stood out to you on the day?
I was going to say, Black Lion's quite interesting given RSA Chase winners and horses who really have a chance in that race. Experience is a massive, massive thing. The more runs you can have, the better. And he's had five over fences now, and his last three performances have been significantly better than his first three. The problem was, he's improved for softer ground. In the spring, I think he'll struggle again. But the RSA, I love the RSA as a race in general, and I think, again, it's going to be an interesting race. It'd be interesting to see if Outlander goes for it as well. He also won very... I was very impressed with him. It just depends whether he goes for that, given the fact that Connections will be very confident of No More Heroes going close.
Yeah, 14-1 for the pair of them, the two that Ross just mentioned, then Black Lion and Outlander, both 14-1 for the RSA, where No More Heroes continue to dominate the betting. At 5-2 with us here at William Hill. We'll move ahead now, though, Ross, to take a look at some of Monday's action. We're jumping, as I said, at Musselburgh and Fakenham, and there's an all-weather card at Wolverhampton. We've got three from Wolves and one from Musselburgh. It's a pretty decent day of action at Wolverhampton as well. We begin with Air 240. This is a handicap over an extended two-mile trip. Seven runners go down to contest this class one, and there'll be a lot of people looking towards the lower end of the handicap here, Ross. Three last time out winners in the bottom three low weights.
Yeah, it's a really good race, and plenty of horses with rock solid credentials as well. So Paddy's Motorbike's the one I think sets the standard. He's stepping up in trip here, but he was very impressive the way he went about it over a mile and a half last time, and he's only got better every time he's gone up to a staying trip. So I think this extra distance will suit him. The second Winterlude's come out and won very nicely indeed since, so the form has been franked. He was beaten by Love You Whatever at Chelmsford, but that one got the run of the race on that occasion. It's a shame about the seven runners, because if there was eight, I think Sunblazer is likely to be overpriced here. In fact, I think Paddy's Motorbike's the one to beat, but I think it's worth chances Sunblazer at the likely odds. He only won an amateur riders race last time out, but that was over at Kempton. He should have won that race, really, on his back class. But he's better here at Wolverhampton, and he's better over this trip as well. So I think he could be overpriced, Sunblazer, against some classier, in inverted commas, types. Master Paver often pops up at decent odds as well, and Haynes has obviously come into this off the back of a career best last time out also. But Paddy's Motorbike could be the one at the top of the market, but I think Sunblazer might be worth a saver.
Okay, couple to think about then for Russ in the 240. We'll go ahead an hour and out for the 340 at Wolverhampton. This is a condition stakes. Four runners go down for this class two. We're over the extended mile trip here. What do you make of this quartet, Russ?
Yeah, another good little race. Horses like Serious Prospect. I love Serious Prospect, but I think he's going to struggle over this trip. Basil Berry, again, another one who's a very nice type and a likeable sort, but I don't think you can necessarily read too much into the race last time out, where he tried to nick it from the front. So I think the two to concentrate on are Mind Your Own Business and Lat Hawil. Mind Your Own Business will probably be very prohibitively priced. He's a very good horse on his day. I don't quite know what they were doing last time out, going over 10 furlongs at Lingfield, but he's much better here over this trip. But I think it's worth chancing Lat Hawil, who was a good horse for Marco Botti and then went to Joe Lyons and is now back with Marco Botti. Now he has been frustrating, admittedly, but he goes well fresh, and I think he's interesting on the switch to the all-weather. Marco Botti's horses are in very good form, and he just strikes me as a horse who might have a little bit more to offer, and he might find the all-weather a little bit easier to get to grips with. So I think Lat Hawil might be worth chancing here against Mind Your Own Business.
Lat Hawil, the pick for us, then number two in the 340 at Wolverhampton. We'll go to the 440 now, again from Wolverhampton. This is a seven furlong handicap where we've got nine runners down to this class three, so a bit more depth to the race, a bit of a bigger field for us here, Ross.
Yeah, again, another very, very good handicap. I mean, this wouldn't look out of place on a Saturday, never mind a Monday. Peril likely to be very popular. Joining box one, nice sit for him. He's won here at the track, admittedly over seven furlongs. He was a very progressive type last year. He was sent off favourite for a good race at Doncaster on his final start. And he's won every single time he's raced over seven furlongs. So he's clearly a bit of a specialist at this trip. He's off a mark of 91. It wouldn't be a massive surprise to see him running in listed and group races by the end of the season for Simon Crisford, so who's had a couple of winners recently as well. Seychelles Wa is also quite nice as well in terms of her her profile. I would probably play her each way, Seychelles Wa, just because she never runs a bad race. The time she's been beaten, there was one time when Rosie Jessop rode her back in October where she gave her an insane ride, almost as if that she thought she had two stone in hand, went six wide around every bend and got beat on the line by a horse who then won its next two. Since then, it's won twice and finished second twice. Last time out, it really pressed the strong pace over at Lingfield over six. I think it's much better here over seven furlongs, and I'd be very, very surprised if Seychelles Wa is out of the three. And I think with Peril, probably, likely, well-fancied, Seychelles Wa could be 4 or 5 to 1 if you're lucky. Crazy Sheik's the other one. Again, Marco Botti's in good form, and I think the drop back to seven is definitely in its favour. So Those three to concentrate on, but I'll take Seychelles Loire.
Seychelles Loire for Ross then, for the combination of Samart Prescott and Luke Morris in the 440 at Wolverhampton. We take in one jumper now then to round off the podcast. This is the 3 o'clock at Musselburgh, a class four handicap hurdle for us here. Nearly 3 miles is the trip for this nine. What do you make of this bunch, Ross?
Not a lot, really. But there is one horse that stands out here that I thought was very interesting, and that's Rocklim for James Hewitt. Three runs over hurdle since coming out of the bumper sphere, and has got gradually better with every one. Beaten by a nice type on debut in the shape of Imada. Stepped up in trip and didn't get home here at Musselburgh on its penultimate run. But third behind Lac Le Mans, who actually contested the first race at Musselburgh on this Sunday, which was a much stronger contest. Bearing in mind Lac Le Mans went up to a mark of 125, I think Rocklim off 102 is a reasonable start for a horse that seems to be getting better with every run. Almost Gemini is obviously the one to beat on recent form, a win at Sedgefield, a win at Musselburgh, and quietly progressive as well. But I think Rocklim has more to come.
Okay, Rocklim then getting the vote for us in the 3 o'clock. Just summarise, please, then, those four picks for Monday's action.
Yep, we'll go Paddy's Motorbike. I think we'll win the 240 at Wolverhampton, but Sunblazer's definitely worth an alternative. Latho Will in the 340, Seychelles Loire in the 440, and Rocklim in the 3 o'clock over at Musselburgh.
You've been listening to Ross Briley's selections ahead of Monday's racing. Thank you for that, Ross, and best of luck.
Cheers, buddy.
And remember to join us on William Hill Racing Radio from 12:50pm Monday afternoon with Sean Quinn, John Budden and Kevin O'Malley guiding you through the cards at Fakenham, Musselburgh and Wolverhampton. You've been listening to the Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.